Hello, hello. Welcome to What to Read Wednesdays, your go-to podcast for staff picks from your friends at Delaware County District Library. Here, we'll talk about books, podcasts, and other relevant media. I'm your host, Annie Pasma. Hey, everyone. I have big news, y'all. Big news. Story times will be back in the fall. I cannot tell you just how excited I am about this. Story times are my favorite part of my job. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Dagging it down just a little bit. We are halfway through Summer Reading Club, and it has gone so well. If you have not come in to get your prizes, be sure to come in before the end of July. If you're doing Preservation Parks, you do have to register online with Preservation Parks before we can give you your prize. If you need help with registration, just come into the library, and we will definitely try to help you out. Last week, the main branch got some chicken eggs that are going to hatch. They should start hatching next week, so definitely come in and watch them, the hatching process. Okay, I think that's enough of the announcements. I can't think of anything else that is super relevant, except, you know, that story times are coming back. Okay, sorry. I have a fun treat for you today. If you didn't know, we have a volunteer program where teens come in and help with programs and other activities. I will say that at the moment, we are reassessing this program and are not taking applications. We're just reassessing that program. But today, we're going to hear from one of our volunteers, Nancy, with her recommendation.
My name is Nancy, and I'm doing a book review on The Land of Stories, The Wishing Spell. This book by Chris Colfer is an engaging fictional book perfect for children aged 9 and over who have an interest in fairy tales and fantasy. I loved reading this book as a kid, and I still do now, and it has always kept me hooked no matter how many times I've read it. This book has an amazing plot that will expand your imagination and keep your mind wandering. Colfer makes you feel as though you are a part of the adventure with the characters, and it will leave you with a burst of spontaneism after reading.
Isn't that so sweet, you guys? I love that Nancy took the time to send me that. Next is our frequent flyer, Mark.
Hello, my name is Mark Stevens, and I work circulation at the Powell Branch. The book I'd like to recommend to you today is called If I Fall, If I Die by Michael Christie. And this book, I think, would equally be good for adult and young adult readers, especially those interested in skateboarding or agoraphobia. This book is so multifaceted that I have a rather longer list of people to recommend it to than I usually do. First of all, the first third of the book does a fantastic job of describing an agoraphobic mother who, along with her 11-year-old son named Will, never go outside of their house. I've read several books dealing with agoraphobia and codependency, and this is the best I've read on those subjects. But also from the beginning, this book deals with the disappearance of a local boy, so that those who like mysteries and crime fiction will like this book. Has the boy been kidnapped or even murdered? A large part of the town is of Native American descent and poor, so that those liking social justice issues of racism and the plight of the downtrodden will also probably enjoy this book. Will and his eventual friend, Jonah, become addicted to skateboarding, and both boys experience a kind of coming-of-age plot. So this book would also greatly appeal to late middle school and high school boys. And finally, this book would appeal to those who enjoy mother and son stories, because their loving relationship is the core of this book. Through the character of Diane, the mother, Michael Christie does a remarkable job of painting a woman constantly consumed by numbing fear. Not just of the outside world, but of simple everyday acts of living, such as standing on a stepladder to change a light bulb. Her son begins to integrate her fears in many ways. One is that he begins to wear a helmet in the house. If you've read Emma Donoghue's book, Room, or seen the movie, you understand a mother's ability to construct a fantasy world that can make confinement seem fortunate and enjoyable. Diane, who fortunately has few money worries due to alimony and child support, has delivery men showing up every day bringing comforts and distractions. They are supplied with numerous movies and books, and Will paints every day with expensive oils on canvas. His self-esteem is nurtured by his mom, always referring to his productions as masterpieces. She and Will call their bathroom Venice, their living room Paris, and their dining room San Francisco, for instance. Will is grateful for his protected and fun life in his cocoon. But one day, Will is lured outside while his mom is in the world of her relaxation tapes, and the novel takes a major twist, which I actually was a little disappointed when that happened because the earlier part of the novel was fascinating. Will, step by step and little by little, ventures into the outside world and actually becomes a risk taker. As you can imagine, doing this sends Diane's stress level through the roof. Readers will enjoy seeing the character growth of both her and Will, plus the interesting young adults and adults Will encounters. Some give him some very hard knocks and reality checks, not to mention life-threatening situations. The book is a page-turner, with the exception of the section where the character Titus is introduced. But stick with it. Titus eventually propels the book into dangerous actions. This is definitely a different kind of book with specific aspects that make it stand out as perfect for the right reader. If you think you might be interested in giving this book a try, it's available on Libby. It has 336 pages.
Well, that certainly sounds interesting. Don't you love how widely read Mark is? I love it. You know, I need to interview him. Mark, if you're listening to this, you need to come on the show. You need to be interviewed. Just gonna put that out there. Okay, CJ from the main branch sent me a book review which I found very fascinating. Mending Life, a Handbook for Repairing Clothes and Hearts by Nina and Sonia Montenegro. Last winter, CJ's favorite pair of wool socks grew holes in the soles. She wanted to keep wearing those socks. She looked online for darning instructions and found this wonderful book. She darned the socks and enjoyed the book far beyond the darning lessons. The stories, illustrations, and poems in this book are beautiful extensions of mending practices into our lives and the lives of all living things. If you would like to extend the useful life of your clothes and keep them out of the waste stream, this is the book for you. In the first chapter, you will find illustrated descriptions of the tools, fabrics, and thread needed for mending. This chapter also includes illustrated instructions for hand sewing skills, from threading a needle to basic mending stitches to marking fabric for shashinko stitching. The subsequent chapters include clearly illustrated instructions for various methods of darning and patching. The final chapter covers a wide variety of common clothing repairs, fixing a sweater snag, replacing a button, repairing a zipper, reattaching belt loops, hemming pants, and others. If you would like to be inspired to mend as a way to honor everything that goes into making our clothes, this is the book for you. When we mend, we are showing gratitude to the people who work to make our clothes and gratitude for the plants, animals, and other natural resources that provide the raw materials for our clothes. Mending is also a way to honor our ancestors and their creativity and resourcefulness. For them, mending was necessary to extend the useful life of the fewer possessions that they had. Finally, if you would like to approach mending as a creative and meditative process, this book is also for you. The process of mending cultivates taking time to sit with things that are worn out and imperfect and working to make them whole and usable again. There are as many ways to mend as there are menders. This book can give you the skills to start on the mending path. CJ has included one of the poems from the book below. It is accompanied by drawings of many hands holding needle and thread. We exist in the in-between. We are surrounded by things, yet we hardly know their origin, and we rarely see their final fate. We mend to remember where we came from and where we need to go, lucid and awake to the before and after. We burst forth with creativity, boldness, needle, and thread. Isn't that beautiful, you guys? I love that. My mom spent a lot of time when I was little making and mending my clothes. I actually have a few items that she had made for me when I was young, and I just really cherish those items. I know how much love and work went into those things. Okay, so what am I reading? Kiwi and Plush by Johanna Horowitz. This is a cute story. It's so cute, you guys. The illustrations are adorable. About two guinea pigs who were set loose in Central Park and have to navigate the wild. What I'm listening to, I just finished two audiobooks that I want to highlight. God's Smuggler is a book about Brother Andrew, a Dutch missionary who in the 50s and 60s smuggled Bibles into communist countries. It is an amazing story, like crazy, crazy story, and I highly recommend it. The other book is called The Indigo Girl by Natasha Boyd. It is about an historical hero of mine, Eliza Lucas. I learned about her when I was in seventh grade. As a teenager, Eliza's father left her in charge of his plantation in South Carolina. Indigo was a very lucrative crop, but no one had tried to grow it in the Americas. Well, this is like before the Revolutionary War. She decided that she could do it. This is such a well-written book. It's really, really good. And I loved that there is a book about one of my childhood heroes. What I'm looking forward to is a book called Fault Lines by Vodi Bakum. It's a book about the social justice movement within the evangelical world. Vodi is well known in both camps. And so I'm really interested to see what he has to say about it. That is it for today, folks. If you have any questions or comments or concerns, email me at whattoread@delawarelibrary.org. I love doing this podcast, and I love it when I hear from you. This is Annie Pasma, and as always, thanks for listening.